Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. How you begin a story matters. Whatever it would be, a book, a movie, a game, or whatever have you, how you begin a story matters. It sets up your characters that you'll be following through the entire runtime. You have to establish where they're from. You have to establish what their family is. You have to establish the kind of characters, who they are, their personalities. And ultimately, you also have to establish the main plot of your story. You have to establish who your antagonist is and what the goal of your characters will be. How you begin a story matters. The beginning of the Gospel of Matthew follows this example. We heard in our sermons for Christmas Eve that Matthew is one of the Gospels that focuses on Joseph more than the Christ child when it comes to telling the story of Christmas and ultimately how Christ comes, yes, for the entire world, but for each of us personally and individually. Matthew also gives us more about who the Christ child is. Not only is he the promised Son of God, not only is he the one promised of old, he also establishes who he is in this world by the coming of the Magi, the wise men, kings from the east, as the church has traditionally held them. They gave him wonderful gifts that would denotate royalty of that day, gold to crown him as king, frankincense to offer to the gods in worship, and of course, myrrh, a costly thing to give his body back to the gods. Even though these were more Gentile things, God had a great purpose for them and a heavenly reason. For with gold he was crowned king of the world. For the frankincense was for himself being true God. And of course the myrrh, looking forward to his death, as the ancient church is traditional. But then the story continues. And it is a very familiar story. Herod learns of the treachery of the wise men. An angel appears to Joseph, telling him to go and take his family and flee to Egypt. And Herod kills some 20 to 30 young boys in the Bethlehem region. It's a familiar story. But yet, is this Christ's story? It kind of seems familiar. We must remember that Matthew had a specific audience when he wrote these stories. He wanted the Jewish people to truly realize who this Christ child was. He goes above and beyond to explain that this indeed, this Jesus, is the Messiah of old. And right in the beginning of his book, the very first chapters, he wants to say who Jesus is by telling a familiar story. For Matthew is telling the story of the people of Israel through Jesus. Because we have to understand that with Matthew, Jesus is all of Israel, all of his history, reduced to one person. You don't believe me? Israel itself went to Egypt. When the times were in the land were of famine and starvation, plague and pestilence, Israel, God's chosen people, would go into the land of Egypt to save themselves from this death. Of course, while they were there, they were enslaved. And then God would go forward more. And the Pharaoh would kill the firstborn baby boys of the people of Israel. Christ's life would take a very familiar way then, for God would save the Christ child from the hand of Herod, just as he saved Moses from the hand of Pharaoh and the killing of the baby boys. And so out of Egypt came a Savior for the people of Israel. Moses came back with an outstretched arm proclaiming that God had come for his people to lead them free. And so God delivered his people from slavery. He brought them out of Egypt. He said, "This people, Israel, is my people." The prophet Isaiah that we heard today in the Old Testament glorifies in this and celebrates in this, that this Israel is God's chosen people, that God loved his people. He went and he was with them. He bestowed upon them his Holy Spirit, gave them wonderful gifts of being his beloved, set apart people. He would make good promises that would say that he would be with them always. They would know that he would be their God because he would bring them to his holy mountain where they would worship him, and he would give them his own law so that the entire world may know that these people, Israel, are my beloved children. Matthew sets up this familiar story of Christ being Israel reduced to one. And there's a purpose for that. Because the first time this story was told, things did not turn out well. The people of Israel rebelled against their Creator, against the one who called them out of Egypt. They rebelled greatly upon the mountain of God, where God was supposed to proclaim them to all the world through the heights that these are indeed his beloved children. They instead worshiped their own gods and spat on the face of their father. He would then punish them, wandering the years in the desert until that wicked generation passed away. But still the people of Israel grumbled. They still complained. They still wanted more. They demanded that God would give them victory over their enemies, and God did. And they demanded that God would lead them to the place that he promised them, and he did. But when they got to the place, and even after Joshua conquered it, almost all of it, they didn't fulfill the word of God and left some unconquered. And they said, "We will never fall away from the Lord. We will always be his people." Immediately they fall away, worshiping the gods of those around them, being taken in by their enemies. God saved them time and time again, for this is the familiar story of the people of Israel. They rebel and God saves. They rebel and God punishes, but always returns with an outstretched hand, welcoming them back, forgiving them their sins, and yet they still rebelled. They even went further beyond this when they saw all of the countries around them, and they said, "We want a king just like them." Wasn't God good enough for them? No, to them he wasn't. It's a familiar story of rebellion, of wanting more than what was given. Something had to change. Israel was corrupt. Sin had corrupted them wholly. What God had deemed for good, they instead turned to evil. Instead of remembering him, they forgot. Instead of honoring him, they fell away. And instead of going back to him, they went and did what they wanted to do. They created their own gods. And even when they did finally went back to God after the many years of exile from their enemies, they wanted to make sure that they would never fall away again, and so established more laws. And those laws soon began to go over the laws of God. And so the laws of men were now more important to the people of Israel than God's holy law. It's a familiar story. And this is why the Christ child came. He was the chosen one of Israel, true God and true man. God knew that his people rebelled, and so he would send forth his Son, who would be his one true person, his one true heir. He would be all of Israel reduced to one. To make sure that the people saw this from generations to come, he would be born in accordance to the words of the prophets of the Old Testament, born in Bethlehem. He would be fulfilling all the law and all the words of prophecy that were spoken about him. He would be as Israel going to Egypt and being saved by the hand of their enemies. He would then be brought forth out of Egypt and brought back into the promised land. To fulfill even all more prophecy, he would be called a Nazarene, for he was Israel reduced to one, God's people in one man. He would fulfill all the law that was required, the law that God had put out for his people. He would even go to the desert for 40 days to be tempted and persecuted by the devil, just as his own people were persecuted and tempted for 40 years. But where they failed, Christ would succeed. He would be the perfect Son that God had wanted for his people. He would be all of Israel reduced to one. And he would fulfill the obligation of a son to his father. He would again even go to the holy mountain of God, where he would be transfigured upon it, so the whole world might see that this is God's beloved Son in whom he is well pleased. And he says to the whole world, listen to him. For Matthew is the book of the Bible that has the most teaching of Jesus speaking words of forgiveness, words of life, words of love. This is why Christ came into the world, to be God's people in one man. But to do this, it's a familiar story. For he also came to be all of us reduced to one man. He would come and he would bear all of the sins of the world. He who was perfect. He who was born perfect, who lived the perfect life, who did all things well, would be condemned. And the man who was Israel reduced to one, who was all the sons and daughters and children of God reduced into one person, was put on a cross. And upon that cross, he became another reduced to one. He became sin. Reduced into one being. All of the sin of the world, all of the evil of the world was put upon Christ on that cross. He suffered as in no way any man ever could. Because he was true God, he could do it. But he was true man, and he could die. And so he became sin reduced to one. And on the cross, sin died. It is a familiar story. For this is why Christ came. For this is why Christ lived. But he is us and God's children in whom we have the hope of redemption. For God raised his Son from the dead so that those who have faith in him, who call upon Christ as their Savior, are called children of God. They are God's new children, baptized into the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we are now God's chosen people, a holy priesthood according to God, set apart to do good things. And the story of Christ has now become our story, the story of how he kept the law for us, how he kept perfect wonderful life for us, and how he came for us. how he became the perfect sacrifice for us so that we might be reconciled with our Father in heaven and are now his new chosen people. It is a familiar story. For all the stories of Israel of old are ours. Of God's love for us, this is our story. A story of a God who loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son, not to destroy the world, but to save it. This is our story. We celebrate the Christ child being born. We will continue to celebrate his wonderful coming into his earth for the forgiveness of our sins and the great work that he did upon this earth. We celebrate and look forward to his second coming when all things will be made new. It is a familiar story. But as we look forward to this new year, with all the challenges and trials, temptation and wants, the highs and the lows, let us look at the familiar story of Christ. He who became one of us, who did all things for our sake, who walked the road you walked down, and is with you forevermore. Let us go and share this story with those who maybe have never heard it, maybe those who need to hear it again, and maybe even for ourselves to read, to reflect, and to listen to our familiar story. Amen.